Blog Talk Radio.
Buckle up and get ready to ride this cosmic wave of knowledge. Talk Radio. It's time to reach beyond the limitations of your mind. A time to travel where the impossible is now possible. As we travel around the world in search of the truth. And now, author, international clairvoyant, and Earth Mysteries investigator, Betsy Lewis.
Betsy Lewis.
Hello and welcome to Stargate Radio this evening. Before I bring on my fascinating guest, I want to let you know that I've got a new book coming out on Amazon tomorrow. It's called Alaska's Deadly Triangle. And the book contains chilling stories of like 16,000 plus people who have vanished in Alaska, ghost ships, alien portals, UFOs, a dark pyramid where aliens and our military work together, Bigfoot stories, and lake monsters. So let me tell you about Marisol Smiley. She is what you'd call a starseed who has communicated with ETs or star beings and angelic beings since childhood. She has captured stunning photos and videos of their existence that are posted on the show page. So be sure and check it out. It scrolls across. So check it out. Just click on the little arrow and you can see it all. She has been given an urgent message for humanity at this time. So I want to tell you what supposedly a starseed is. They are conduits between divine realms and the earth, and they can transport between galaxies via meditation. So I'll have to ask her about that. So let me bring her on. Marisol, are you there?
Hi, everyone. Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I'm glad you're here, and thank you. What an honor to have you on the show this evening and talk about your experiences, extraordinary experiences. And I know it's been a really difficult journey for you. So let's start out when you were 3 years old. That's when some of these things began to happen for you. Tell us what happened.
I'm 3 years old. I slept with my sister and I laid down and the blanket started moving off of my body. And so I thought it was my older sister doing it, playing around. So I told her to stop, you know, I'm going to go back to sleep, you know, can you stop? But she didn't reply or anything. So I just laid back down, put the blanket over myself, and then suddenly it happened again. So I sit up and I look to the foot of the bed for to grab the blanket, and I feel something touch my hand, and it's a little blue child. There were two of them. They looked very human. They had hair. Their eyes were dark. They were very kind, and all I felt was safe and love with them. Put the blanket over myself, laid down. I feel joy in my heart. I put the, you know, myself, I lay on my stomach and cover myself with the blanket, and then suddenly they levitated me.
Wow.
They took me to see my parents. It was really cool. I didn't know what was happening to me. I felt the blanket come off. I see that I am levitating, but I didn't know how to navigate. So I started like swimming, like if I was swimming or something, like pushing myself with like swimming.
Wow.
Is what I was trying to do, but I wasn't really going anywhere. They were actually moving me to where they wanted me to go until they started moving me towards the window. And I said in my mind that, you know, I'm not supposed to be going outside, and they put me back down, and I just went back to bed. But these little guys would come and play games with me, little mm-hmm. puzzle games. And every time these little pieces, I got them right, they would levitate. Then
did they
happened,
look
human? They look very human. They look like the beings from the Hindu scriptures, the little the God that the blue little God, the blue God people like that, but they were children. They were like me. They didn't look like, you know, very menacing, or they weren't scary. They were, I didn't feel threatened. I felt joy. I thought that everybody had little blue friends. I had no idea.
That's really interesting, because other Native Americans claim that they've seen blue beings, and these beings are, they look like humans, but they have this blue aura about them. Did you see this aura around them?
It wasn't an aura. It was more like an inner glow,
uh-huh.
A slight inner glow from their skin from the inside out. But it wasn't too much, like too bright or anything. It was just like their skin kind of was fluorescent a little bit. Their feet kind of glowed like a light on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but it seemed a little bit more brighter on their legs, on their legs. But they were blue. They looked very human.
Did they talk to you?
No, they basically, it wasn't more like a talk. It was more like an understanding. They would come and play with me and bring me these little shapes. Usually they were triangular. I would make other shapes out of this triangular shape. And every time I did it right, it would levitate and swirl around the room. They just laid these before me. I didn't notice other children. I didn't feel like they took me anywhere. But it was just like three of us, two little blue guys and myself.
That's just amazing. I believe that there are certain people like you, Marisol, that have this ability to connect with UFOs, and you have. I know you've taken a lot of photos, so you have this, some kind of magnetic pull or something around you that attracts them. And I saw a TV show just recently, Paranormal Caught on Camera, and there's a woman in Switzerland, and she's constantly taking photos like you of UFOs. And, you know, there's something about it. People, you know, like you are attracted to them, or they're attracted to you. Do you feel that?
Sometimes it is that way. I feel that they're presence is more now because of the shift of the planet and consciousness and the awakening of this planet. I honestly, really, I had no idea that this would continue. I thought that it would stop at some point. I didn't think that they would come after the children or that the children would experience anything. I remember asking questions when I was taken when I was 25 years old. I spoke with this Shining One, and the reason I call him the Shining One was because he was extremely like a light. He glowed so much. He was so bright that literally I thought I was standing in the presence of an angel. I mean, something very powerful, and my heart really started racing. I thought to myself, I must be dead. You know, I'm not alive. This is really not happening. You try to convince yourself that this is just an illusion, that this is not occurring to you. I'm trying to soothe myself and get a hold of what I am seeing and experiencing at that time. It was quite shocking.
You were 25, did you say, at that time?
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was 25 years. 25. It was 1989, September, I think, the 15th. It happened in Southington, Connecticut. So I'm originally from Connecticut. I'm born in Hartford. I was there till I was about 14, and then we moved to a town called New Britain, and I lived there until I was about 20, no, actually 30, and then we moved here to Florida. But when I moved to Florida, I didn't think at all. And I had not had any other experiences until that one. But before that, I did have a few, and some of them I didn't recall. I just woke up with marks on my body.
Do you feel that you had an implant put in you?
I don't know. Honestly, I have no idea. Sometimes I think maybe yes, because of how easily they can locate me. And I don't feel afraid because
that's
I'm whole. They've not harmed me, but I know that there are forces besides these ETs that are the ones that I call the watchers, the shining ones, the angelic beings that they speak of in many, in scripture and in other, you know, and in the Sumerian tablets about these beings that are in charge of humanity and guiding us. And basically that's what this shining being told me. But what happened was I was staying with my sister, Jeannie, my younger sister in Southington, and I went to sleep on the couch. Mind you, one of the walls in this condominium is all whole windows, so it was beautiful scenery. I feel this light on my face. I'm half asleep, and so I look, open my eyes, I see this light, but I didn't think anything of it. You know, I thought it was maybe my sister's, one of her, you know, her boyfriend or something with his helicopter just, you know, messing with us or something. So I turn away from this light. Suddenly I find myself outside next to a tall being dressed in an outfit that looked, made him look like the knight, camouflage somehow. But I could see his hands and his head because they emitted an aura, a glow.
Mm-hmm.
This glow, he was very pale. He had dark eyes, very small lips. And I walked with him to the wooded area behind the condominium in Southington. And I didn't notice a ship or anything until he got to a certain point and he lifted his hand up. And suddenly this light opens up in the woods.
Ooh.
I go through this light with him. It was amazing. It was scary. It was very scary to see this happen. But at the same time, it was amazing because once I walked through with him, I was not in the woods anymore. I was in this, it seemed to me like a huge, a ship, a warehouse of some kind. I could hear like an echo. It was strange. I could breathe normal. It wasn't like I yet lost my breath, like when you're going underwater or anything like that. It was some sort of a doorway I went through with him. I'm on the ship now. I'm walking with him, and he's in front of me, and there's this area where there's this beautiful floating wall. It was a crystal wall. It was enormous.
Wow.
And it was floating. So he is going to the other direction. I noticed that the floor where I'm walking, it starts turning transparent, and it gave me that feeling of falling. So it went back to solid again. It was just like, I don't know why they did that, but it kind of like I could see through. I could see down on the earth. Obviously, they were taking me somewhere. I did not know where. I did not feel, you know, like I had been like weightless or anything at that point. I'm still, you know, standing there looking at this beautiful crystal wall. And there were other crystals there as well. But then I see this huge door. There is a huge door, and I start getting thirsty. So I asked them for water, and another being approached me. But this being looked nothing like the first one. He looked more like a jellyfish, but with a head and two eyes. And he had, like, you know how when the catfish have those little whiskers on the side?
Right.
He had Yeah, he had like one on each side, you know, and he handed me this drink. I drank it, and my thirst completely was gone. So my thirst is gone. I feel great. But then I start hearing and seeing other beings that I did not see before. It was like this drink had not only taken my thirst away, but had allowed me to see these other beings that were around me. Now, these beings were not menacing in any way, and there were humans, human-looking beings there as well, just like myself. There's this wall. I'm led back to the wall. I see the wall. This being the first one that opened and got me there, he waves his hand on this wall, and these little sparks start coming out, and that made me nervous because I thought I was going to get burned or it was fiery, like sparkles from the 4th of July. It seemed that way to me. Mm-hmm. These things started swirling around me and forming into some sort of symbols or galaxies, and he was trying to show me, but it was shocking for me. I was still kind of really freaked out, wondering to myself, is this really happening to me? Trying to really come to reality and grips of what was really occurring to me. I was basically really traumatized, to be honest with you. It really shocked me to the core. I mean, literally, I didn't think that any of this stuff ever, that these people, these beings ever existed. I mean, I believe that in angels because of my upbringing or the programming, whatever it is with mm-hmm. religion. But these beings really do exist. They're real, and they do watch over us, and they do guide humanity, and they are here because we're at a very pivotal point. They've always been here, really. It's right. just that people have not been aware of them, and they approach certain people at certain points in time in their lives.
Marisol, did you feel that they were really tall? I thought you said something about them being as tall as 25 feet tall.
Yes, the one that came out of the door, the shining one, his presence was basically of like when you see the king or the queen or some royal person, God, basically. I thought I died and went to heaven, and God was there. Even though I knew I was alive, I was just, you know, trying to make sense of it. But what happened was this giant door. There's this huge door. It's maybe like, I don't know, 100 feet tall. It was huge. It had gold trimming on it. It opens up, and this light starts walking toward me. It seemed like the sun was coming to me. And so I start bowing my head down because, it's number one, it is too bright. And I'm thinking I'm in the presence of God or some sort of angel. What is this? Because the first one looked alien to me, but this one looked like an angel to me. So I gaze down and I'm ready to kneel because I'm thinking this is God. This is something, you know, very powerful. I get the presence of something really, really powerful. So when I'm going to do that, he stops me. And he tells me, do not kneel before me, for I am just like you. So I look up. I'm able to look up. He's dimming himself for me. He is very, very pale. He looked very pale. His eyes were very large. He looked quite human, very muscular. His hair was kind of like a blondish, whitish color. He had this tight uniform on. He looked to me like some sort of angelic soldier of some kind. He told me like this. I said, what are you? I mean, because I wanted to figure out what he was, and I'm thinking this in my mind. He hears me, and he tells me like this. We have been called by many names because I said, well, what are you, a cherub, a cherufin, a seraphim? What are you? I was saying it in Spanish, you know. So he tells me that they have been called by many names throughout the century on our planet, and that history on our planet has been changed. And when he waved his hand with the change, it was like I could see the earth in my mind being like scrambled, like when the water goes over the land and just destroys everything. Like everything was just being churned, like mixed, so that the truth would not be found. It was really bizarre. So
that's what's happening now, right? With all the chaos.
It's been happening for centuries.
Yeah.
There's been other life on this planet. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at a time, a great shift on this planet. This has never happened before. It is this great awakening. And people really need to change their ways if they're doing things that are to harm either the environment, themselves, or other humans, or even animals. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're doing, try to do the best. Put your best foot forward. Be kind. Help.
Right.
Take care of yourselves and get ready, because the great shift is here and people need to be aware that, you know, time is of the essence. I mean, either you want to stay in this type of world where you are living at a point that water is polluted and everything. You don't want that. This has to stop, because the life in the ocean also has meaning and it has value. All the life that's on this planet, this earth is alive. She is ascending. And whether we like it or not, we're going to ascend with her. So, you know, either you do the right thing by her and for yourself, or you keep on the path and you just end up suffering.
You know, Marisol,
it's a great shift.
You're so right. And I feel the same thing. What you're talking about is there is a shift, a paradigm shift coming. But, people don't believe in angels anymore. And you captured one, which is just incredible. But I want to tell you, in July of 1984, Russian cosmonauts aboard the Space Station 7 were on a 155-day mission. And they reported that all of a sudden out of this golden mist, these 50-foot angels appeared with the halos and the whole works, and they were smiling at them. I mean, they all saw them, 50-foot aliens up in space. So, you know, they exist.
Yes,
they're there.
They do.
Right?
Yes, they really are. Well, what happened with that, I was watering my garden, and I love gardening, and that morning I was watering my garden and I felt like someone was watching me. So I live, you know, back in my house, there's a beautiful lake. I have lots of neighbors, you know, so I look around the lake wondering, well, you know, maybe one of the neighbors across the lake is looking at me. I don't see anyone. I continue watering the garden and I'm walking towards the house and I see, you know, this shadow. So I look up and I notice that there's this oval shaped silvery luminous object above me, and it has like four like blue orb things underneath it. So I grabbed my phone and I went to take a picture of it, and within 5 seconds it got so high up there I was lucky to take that one picture. But when I looked at it, well, before I got my camera, I got to take a good look at it. And it, to me, it looked like a craft. I did not expect to see what I saw. It was about the size of a small plane, one of those planes, you know, those banner planes, they fly across the beach.
Right.
It maybe 40 foot long. It was big. And when I took that picture and I zoomed in and I noticed the wings on it, I call him the Watcher, because he was watching me. And after I saw him, I started having these dreams. These dreams really alarmed me. They disturbed me. They were dreams of the end of the world, of the suffering of humanity, of the great awakening, which is now, of the day of forgiveness, I do not understand why these come to me or why they show me this, but I know it's a message for me to tell people. After this great awakening, there is going to be something called the Day of Forgiveness. This Day of Forgiveness has to happen because of all the atrocities that have happened to not only humanity, but the life all over the earth, including our planet. And these beings that have done this have to have forgiveness so that they can move on and the earth can change for the better for humanity and all life on it. It is precious. It does not belong to us, and we can be wiped out at any moment. So people really need to get their stuff straight.
That's right.
It's happened before.
Right, right. And, you know, many civilizations out there in the universe have been wiped out by their own doing. And it seems like we're on that course. You know, we're just a train out of control. And if we don't get our act together, you know, like you said,
It's because people do not believe. Yeah. They don't see. They are not aware. But now, because of the shift and this great awakening, all these new frequencies that the earth is coming into, we are definitely feeling it, and it's affecting humanity and all life on the planet. A shift that is, you know, hasn't happened in a while, and actually has never happened. It's new. Mm-hmm. That's why we have so many different ETs and so much life, even life in the ocean, making their presence known to humanity and the world. We are not alone. This planet does not only belong to us, it belongs to other life.
Yes. Yes.
And these beings have been on this planet as well. They walked among us.
Right.
We are the star seeds. We are what they left behind. We need to take care of our home, each other, and change for the better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Did you want to take a break now, a 4-minute break?
Sure, that'd be great.
You sure?
Sure.
Okay.
Little break.
Okay. We're going to take a 4-minute break, and we'll be back with Marisol Smiley to find out more about these messages that she's been given. And I'm going to play some music. It's a song by Enigma, and it's called Return to Innocence. And listen to the lyrics. They're amazing. I think we all have to return to innocence. You'll hear some Native American chanting or singing in it. So it's got high vibrations. Listen to it, and we'll be back in 4 minutes. Thank you.
Hey.
Devotion.
I hope you enjoyed that, everyone. I love that. I love the chanting. I used to go to powwows during the 90s, and the music, it puts you in a different place. It's high energy. It's high frequency. And if you ever get a chance to go to a Native American powwow, go. It's incredible. And what's really interesting, if you watch The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, they brought in a drumming group and chanting group from Oklahoma, Native Americans from different tribes. And they conducted these experiments to see if anything, if the ranch would, you know, suddenly come alive, and it did. They felt this presence out there, and the drummers couldn't go on anymore. But they produced 192 hertz, which is when certain things happen out there, and these UAPs, as they call them, or UFOs appear. So there's something to it. Let's see if Marisol is ready. Hi, Marisol, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I wanted to, because I kind of like skipped a few things, when I saw the Shining One, he was showing me what was in control of our planet, what is actually running our planet. And I saw, which really frightened me, I wanted to run, but I think the fear and the shock of seeing this humongous snake man in front of me was the most shocking thing I've ever seen. As you could describe what they called the devil or the serpent in the Garden of Eden, this is what this being appeared to me. Very reptilian.
Yes,
very reptilian. His face looked kind of like a cobra-ish kind of a face, like a snake. And the Shining One called him the Nakash. He says that the Nakash run the earth, and they have turned humanity into their slaves. And
exactly.
That was not the purpose. That was not the idea when man was brought to this planet or when we were seated here. That was not the intentions at all. So these Nakash are the ones that are poisoning our atmosphere and basically everything that humanity touches, and it's just basically so that we are not aware, so that they can continue the control over humanity. But that's ending. It's ending.
I'm
people
glad
need
you
to realize.
That.
Yeah,
thank
it's
you
important
for
that people know that these Nakash really do exist. No,
well,
they don't. I mean, they should, because these beings are real. These beings have infiltrated our planet and are definitely do not care about the well-being of humanity. If they did, we'd definitely be breathing great air and eating wonderful food and having, you know, transportation and the technology that we should be having, including, you know, the health of all life on the planet.
All this
technology that they use is to suppress instead of helping the earth, because the earth definitely needs this as well. Without it, she's been defiled, and it's sad. It's our only home. Where will we go? Where will you go? I know in my heart that the vessel will stay. The vessel is made of carbon. It will perish. But what animates this vessel and what is speaking to you right now is my higher self. It is the part of myself that is tethered to the light force that animates this vessel. So I want people to know that I'm not the only star seed, that you are a star seed, that all of you have the capability, and all of you are conduits. And if you desire something and to know the truth, just ask. Just ask. It will be revealed to you.
Marisol, do you believe that a lot of these people that seem soulless out there that are doing horrible things to others and the lies and everything, do you think they're being controlled by the reptilian race?
I believe that they are empty vessels looking for something. These vessels are there by these reptilians, of course. They use them as their pawns to do their bidding and cause chaos and hell on earth. We just need to be able to identify those forces and walk away. They're not worth it. Don't go into the fear. I mean, all this fear. I mean, there's so much. It's going to be epic. The next 7 years is going to be epic for the United States, for all the world. The people that have caused harm to humanity will definitely reap that wrath, and it will be public. And the world will see. Every eye will see. Everyone will see it. Everyone will feel it and will be affected by it. So prepare yourself, because, you know, when you catch a fish, it starts squirming and trying to get away and putting up that fight. There's a fight going on for your soul. It is a very fight for your spiritual self, for what animates the vessel that you walk with every day. So just know and be aware.
People have lost spirituality. They don't, you know, they're just not, they're evil to people, they're evil to animals, and I can't believe what the horrible things that are done out there. And, you know, we can't.
Some of them are
lost.
They need guidance.
They are.
Most of these people, especially, you know, we have family members that are lower vibration, and they seek satisfaction or fulfillment on the outside, like alcohol or drugs or whatever it may be. It is not there. You will never find it there. What you will find there is more pain and suffering. Going within yourself, even using the prayer that you know, just ask within your heart. The words will come to you, and you will see and you will know, because you, everyone, every human life, every life force on this planet has a way of communicating with these beings. I mean, obviously, they are listening. They are listening. They are watching. They are tethered to us. When I've been through so much in my life. I got pneumonia when I was 16. I almost died. I had my first out-of-body experience. It was quite shocking and scary. Then when I recently, I just got C-diff twice, and that, you know, I was literally astral traveling in this state. It was alarming. I saw a lot of things that that alarmed me about the planet and what is going to happen, and I saw disasters, and it was just, it was like turmoil within myself. I don't want to see these things. Sometimes I wish that I didn't, because it is traumatizing for me. But I know that we can change the outcome. We still have a chance. You know, humanity still has a chance to change the outcome of what's happening. And whether you do decide to change or not, you know, not everyone is going to be able to ascend, I mean, and to go at that point in time and shift with the new earth. A lot of them that still vibrating in a lower realm and are still doing things that are not right for themselves will stay, and those are the ones that will suffer the consequences for it. It's going to be sad. But
do you
the other
see...
ones...
Go ahead.
Excuse me? The other ones, there's ships. There are ships out there. There is a Federation. They are already collecting humans, DNA, and animals and all life on the planet as an art to save it and repopulate the planet again. This is a process that's been done before. It's not the first time. But humanity, we can shift. You can shift. You can shift with the new earth. You can avoid all of that stuff happening to you. You can. You have to change. You have to want to change.
Yeah. You know, and the reason, you know, so many things, bad things are happening is because this is a free will planet.
Exactly.
And everything's allowed here. You know, we came here to learn powerful lessons. And, you know, a lot of people have refused to, you know, learn them. And, you know, we keep coming back in each lifetime to learn those lessons until we get it right. And, of course, we'll probably reincarnate and reincarnate. So you better get it right this time or you'll be coming back
to this planet. It's been happening. There is memory left from people's past lives. And some of us remember, some of us don't. Maybe it's good that some of us don't remember. Life on this planet is very difficult. It is a school, definitely, of learning. I'm still learning. I'm 60 years old. I'm aware
You're
of these beings. I know. I got another 40 years to go.
That's right.
But I was, you know, I'm very thankful that I had my mom. And I used to, you know, think about my uncle. I used to think my uncle lost it. I mean, even though I had some of these experiences when I saw him when I was 21, I still hadn't gotten to see the Shining One. But I remember him telling me about him speaking with an angel. And I thought he was out there. I'm like, oh my God, uncle's just lost it. You know, I didn't believe him until it happened to me. So my uncle just turned 85 years old. He's in Puerto Rico. I am going to call him. And I called him, I sent him a message yesterday, but I don't know if he got it, to let him know, you know, that I'm sorry if I ever made him look or feel that he was crazy, that he's not, and that I'd like to know more. I'd like to know more about his story and how they came to him. Because what the Shining One told me is that they choose people and families and tribes, and that they follow us throughout the centuries. So for as long as your genetic line goes, they continue to watch over you and guide you. All humanity has these beings that are tethered to you to guide you. Now, the ones that are empty vessels, they have a different tether that is tethered to the Nakash and their nefarious will. And some of these people will never, ever be able to ascend anywhere at this point in time because their vibration is not at the right. It's not meant to be. Many will be called, and only few will be able to go and listen, you know, and change. But yeah, we're at a point in time in our lives that we really need to, you know, take care of our families very well. Let them know, listen to your kids, because these beings, you know, these grays, I don't like the grays too much, even though they're both, just like humans, they have both good and bad. The grays have definitely helped us with technology, and this is not the first time they've helped humanity. They are here. People just aren't aware, and they can be a little scary. They really can. Just their appearance alone is quite shocking. Yeah.
Marisol, would you talk about your children and the experiences they've had?
Oh, my daughter. Okay. Okay, so now I move. We didn't have any experiences. I moved here. My son was 11. My daughter, 10. It's 1998. I get my first apartment. I go home. I get home at like 10 o'clock at night. I notice that my son and my daughter, he's almost 12 and she's almost 14. And they're huddled on the couch together. They're scared. I'm like, well, what the heck is wrong with you guys? You know, why aren't you in bed? And my daughter tells me there's a light in the room. And there was this orb floating in my room. I closed the door, and I stay in the living room with them, and it went away. The following night, I'm laying with my daughter. I have this two-bedroom apartment. My son is in his own room. My daughter's with me. I hear this, So I went to turn my head, but I couldn't. I was frozen. There was this orb the size of a kickball,
maybe a little smaller than a kickball. And mm-hmm. it was hovering over my daughter and myself. Above her was a gray. At our foot of the bed, well, there were two more grays. And then there was two more grays, like at a little patio. Now, I don't know what happened because I went out. But my daughter told me that she saw this orb that was above us, freezing us like that. It had us paralyzed. It went up and through the ceiling. And she doesn't remember anything else after that. But that was quite alarming for her and my son, because while there was an orb in our room, there was an orb in my son's room. And it was just right in front of his face, he said. He couldn't move either. He drew it. My daughter and I, we don't talk about it. We didn't talk about it. We had just moved to Florida. I did not expect that to happen at all. It was, I mean, people talk about it. I talk about it, and, you know, just the ridicule alone. So it was, you know, I realized at that point in time, this is not going to stop. And they're going to continue coming and visiting. And they haven't harmed us. I can't stress more that I don't feel hurt in any way. When I have become ill, I know that I recover quite quickly. I've come to points of dying in my life quite a few times. My kidney shut down when I was 25. I had one working only at 20%. I ended up in the hospital for 4 weeks, getting a radiation treatment for 6 months for my kidneys, and that helped my kidneys come back and myself become stronger. But I noticed that whenever I'm at a point of that I feel like my vessel is dying, my friends show up. These little guys, they show up and they tell me that they're going to help me. And the next thing I know, I'm well. I am well. I recover.
Mm-hmm.
When I think I'm going to die, because having C. diff is no joke. You really do feel like you're dying. It is very painful.
Horrible.
It's horrible. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people that have that threat, they go through that threshold, you know, of death. I don't fear it. I know that that my soul essence is eternal. It does not die. So people need to know that as well. Your soul essence does not die. What dies is the vessel. And that's one thing I didn't understand. And I was afraid of dying. Obviously, you know, you're attached to your family, your children, you know, your loved ones. But the peace and the love, the pure love that you feel when you're at, when you do not have that vessel, it's like I am covered with love, like this pure, infinite love that I can't describe. Only but a mother's love could be that way, but more. It's amazing.
You're
so
protected.
I find comfort. I do. I feel that I am, and I'm blessed to be.
You are.
I choose to help other people because I feel that in my heart, that is my mission, to let people know that they need to do right for themselves and their children, their families. If you see something that is quite not right, you know, do something about it. Change it. You know, don't get yourself involved where you're going to hurt yourself or cause harm to your family. But now that you know things are coming, stock up on water, seeds, medicine,
yeah, right.
things to survive, because the weather on this planet is changing, and it's going to get really, really bad. People really need to prepare. Have those bags in your car ready if you have to leave. Because,
yeah.
you know, the world, the map is definitely going to look different. The earth is going to look quite different. When I saw the earth changing and all those cataclysmic things, I woke up crying. I asked my mom, this was in 1991. I had this vision of the end of the world, and it was in a dream. And I woke up crying. I asked my mom, I said, Mom, something really horrible is going to happen. She says, well, any answers you want, you can find it in scripture. And so what I was describing, she said, was apocalypse.
And I says, Mom, but it's different, you know. It's these beings that are coming. And she goes, those beings have been around for centuries. I didn't really think, you know, anything of it. She had already been reading these books that my mom was an avid librarian, and she loved going to the library. She, if she had questions and she didn't find it in scripture, the library was the next best thing for her to go.
Sure.
So she was telling me about these beings and, you know, that my experience is unique and that, you know, people aren't going to understand. So maybe I shouldn't, you know, speak to people about it, you know, but that I could speak to her. And she was my go-to.
Yeah.
I mean, she really was very wise and very spiritual. I believe that when she passed away, because I was there with her, she was taken. And she was taken because she told me she saw a craft. She saw a UFO with red light, and she drew it. I kept a picture. She passed away in 2013, January the 20th, and on a Saturday. And I was with her in that journey, and it was, it's just when everything changed for me. Spiritually, my whole self changed. That was my point of the Great Awakening. It was like she handed the baton to me. It was bizarre.
Marisol, I want to confirm what you've been saying. When I was 7 years old, I had dreams just over and over, repeating dreams of catastrophic events, that geological events, winds blowing, hurricane winds, great big huge earthquakes. I was with a group of people and we were trying to escape volcanoes. And I think, you know, people are seeing two suns up in the sky right now, which I think is Planet X or Nibiru.
It
and it's
it really
coming
is.
Back and it shifts the earth every 3,600 years or more. So, you know, things
yeah, there's
happening.
More. I mean, the moon is going to be struck by debris. People really need to wake up. The Earth, yes, definitely, this huge shift. Nibiru is, well, they don't want us to call it Nibiru, but yeah, it's here. It's here. It's brought other bodies with it. It has its own sun. Well, they say it's a dark sun, but it's got other bodies with it. And these beings are very powerful. They do exist, and they're back. They're back.
They are. You know, I want to ask you, do you feel like you have a hybrid child out there? Many women feel that
I
they had a
I
fetus
do.
That disappeared and
I
they
believe
took
I
them.
Do.
And, do you?
Yeah, I believe I do. I have two that I know of. The boy looks more alien than the girl. She looks more human. Mm-hmm. She's shorter in stature. The boy, he looks quite alien and still human, but he's very, very tall.
Wow.
He's a lot taller than the girl. The girl's very short, a little shorter. I'm 5'3", so she's maybe like 5 or 4'10". She's got the big head, but she looks very human, beautiful, beautiful. And she's a healer. So she's a healer. And he watches. It's nice to know, but I'm sure that there are many people like myself who have hybrid children and would love to meet them. And we will. We're getting that chance. I mean, they're right above our heads. It's just not time for us to see and meet them yet because, you know, we're shooting everything down and asking questions later.
That's right. Well, you know, we talked about, you know, I think there's millions and millions of people that have been abducted and they don't recall it. But I think there's going to be that great awakening when they do realize that they were abducted and they'll know, you know, like you did. And they'll just awaken to a new world. I mean, we're going to have a new world, and it's exciting, I think. It's scary and
exciting.
It is exciting.
I mean, plants communicate. People aren't aware. I love gardening. I talk to my plants. I can actually feel my plants if they're happy, if they're sad. I mean, everything. I mean, it's like my whole self has awakened, like every part of my body, my senses have heightened. And it feels also because, you know, I am the way I am. It's like living two realities because it's of the shift. I can sense the shift, and sometimes I feel like I'm living in two realities at the same time. And it does feel
and
that
you
way.
You are.
To me.
You are.
It really is. It can be exhausting. It can be exhausting.
Well,
I think I'm getting
about
rest
out of
and,
time. Yeah.
And
we're
I'm
just
actually
about
traveling
time.
Somewhere else. Okay.
Yeah.
It was so nice. I'm glad.
Well,
I hope I could help people.
You. Oh, you have. And thank you for having the courage to speak out. I hope other people come out and speak up too. I mean, a lot of people are afraid to speak up. And if we don't speak up and speak out against things and say what we've experienced, you know, people won't believe it. I mean, when we start all coming out,
I really didn't believe it. I thought it was a dream, but you know, it's real and it's happening to a lot of us. So I hope
you
I could help.
Yeah, you did, and it was great. Thank you so much. But I want to let people know, if they want to reach out to you, they can email me at info@BetsyLewis.com. And Betsy has that extra E in it, B-E-T-S-E-Y, Lewis, L-E-W-I-S.com. And I'll just forward the messages to you. But thank you again.
You're
just
welcome.
Amazing. Amazing lady. I just love you so much. And I wish everybody a great 4th of July. Stay safe, everyone. Have a blessed weekend. Marisol, you have a blessed weekend. And I just want to let everybody know my next interview will be Ron Felber, who you met, Marisol. And he's going to talk about his book, Mojave Incident, which is about a young couple abducted in the Mojave Desert for 8 hours by three different types of aliens. So, and what's really weird is the military bases, there's several of them in the Mojave Desert, and not one helicopter came to save them. So it's going to be a good story. So I hope you all tune in for that. And again, thank you, and have a great weekend, everybody. Bye,
you as
everybody.
Well. Bye.
Bye-bye.